Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G Experience Report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 92 of A Pod of Their Own, and we are live here at Citi Field. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Linda Cervich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin.
Hi, Allison.
And we are joined by friends. We are joined by Brian Salvatore, Michael Drago, Thomas Henderson, Michael's mom's here. We got Jesse here. We got friends. So we're all here at Citi Field live. We're about to go to our first game as a poddo in quite a long time.
Maybe ever.
No.
Yeah.
I was always late down.
You're getting the latent plain volume here, everyone, so you know it's authentic. But yeah, we've never actually sat together.
I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm really excited. I probably won't have to like go after y'all with wet wipes and like buy you an extra ice cream because you dropped your first one.
I mean, you might.
Yeah. I would.
I make no promises.
I would, out of the goodness of my heart, but not because I really had to or you would never let me hear the end of it. So that's the difference.
Yeah, honestly, it's going to be great. I'm so excited that we're here. Tyler McGill is pitching today, so that was kind of one of the topics of conversation I was thinking of bringing up. So what are everyone's early takes on Tyler McGill, New York Met? Tylor McGill.
And it's not McGill, it's McGill.
McGill. Tylor McGill, New York Met.
I mean, he's fine, I guess. I mean, he's done a lot better than I assumed he would when he came up.
I didn't do the reading, so... he's very medium.
Solid, maybe?
Very medium Tyler McGill. Thomas, what's your Tyler McGill take for the pod?
Oh, yeah, we have our minors guy here.
Well, I wasn't a huge fan of him, but as I've said on the other podcast, like, he really earned his way up here because he was good. Like, he was actually good, and I think he's a major league caliber player. I don't think he's a starter. I think he's probably a reliever because he goes about four innings and then flames out in the fifth every time. So hopefully he doesn't do that today. But if he's like Robert Gesellman on a cheap contract for a few years, that's fine with me, really, depending like where the system is at. That's what they need.
And we could use a Robert Gesellman replacement considering we don't currently have Robert Gesellman. So if he's literally Robert Gesellman, that's probably fine. Other than McGill starting, we have the regular lineup today, pretty much,
Yay!
Which is very exciting. No one's sitting. We've got Conforto. We've got McNeil.
No, we do not have my mans.
Oh, we don't have J.D.
You.
Davis. We don't have J.D. Davis.
Any minute now, he's going to be walking onto that field, Linda. Any minute, I promise.
Linda just missed him. He's like almost back. He's almost back.
I think he got an RBI double for Syracuse.
Yes, that's very good.
So he's doing stuff.
Yeah, J.D. Davis is essentially the last position player back. We had updates on Carlos Carrasco as well as Noah Syndergaard. So Carlos Carrasco, in theory, is supposed to be back by the end of the month / early August, which is good. They just have to hold out until then. And then Noah Syndergaard probably not back until September, in which case I wonder what they'll do about that. Like, in September, obviously, we'll see what the standings are like then, but I'm curious about how they handle that, because when you have a starting pitcher who's been out all year, who hasn't pitched until September, like, do you use him out of the bullpen? I wonder what their needs will be at that point.
I do think it's going to come down a lot to the needs, but I think you have to start him in the bullpen. I think that's where you're going to get the best performance out of him and do the least, you know, put the least pressure on that arm, which is, this has been a journey for that Tommy John. It has been it has been a long time. So it gives him a chance to ramp up. And, you know, maybe he absolutely blows everyone away and he squeaks his way onto the postseason roster, she said, jinxing everything. Sorry, guys. Knocked on all the wood that is not here. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of a no-brainer unless they are in dire straits, which would also not be hugely surprising.
Yeah. I feel like if the Mets do make a move at the deadline, it probably would be for pitching, for starting pitching. So the bullpen would probably be, especially with Castro kind of looking iffy right now. And
Castro might be a sticky substance victim, yeah, folks, unfortunately. I hate to say it. And you know I love Miguel Castro as a former Oriole Met crossover. You know I love my Orioles Mets crossover content, but Miguel Castro might be a sticky substances victim.
Well, and some of our sticky boys are going to make it. They just
Some
of our sticky boys are going to make it. They just need to adjust, don't we all? And, you know, Castro will figure out his business.
I wonder if relievers need less of an adjustment than the starters, or if that's not the case. I don't know.
Well, the shorter stints? I don't
Brian,
know.
Brian, would you like to chime in?
Brian's input. Brian has a take here.
My thought on that is that if you're a starter, you have to be used to pitching through lots of different circumstances, and so you can't be as dependent on one pitch or on one type of pitch. You have to have, you know, there's just more to your game when you're a starter. When you're a reliever, you come and you do your thing. And if your thing is sticky stuff dependent, I don't see how you can still do your thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's probably true. I was thinking about, like, Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer and the other guys that are very high profile as far as the sticky stuff, but it does make sense that relievers might suffer even more, even if it's not as prominent in, you know, the news, so to speak. But, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I also feel relievers are probably hard to judge because they're so volatile anyway. So you're never going to be able to say, like, that was a sticky substance guy, like...
Except for Aroldis Chapman. 150% sticky boy.
Who, I will use this as a segue, who was named to the All-Star team, and guess who is not named to the All-Star team? Taijuan Walker or Edwin Diaz? Boo, we hate that. We hate it, folks. Jacob deGrom was obviously named to the All-Star team, and if he has already indicated that he likely will not pitch,
Apparently,
Thomas says he's not even going.
He has plans that weekend. Sorry, kind of late notice.
Whoops. Now, this is so unexpected.
Guys, I can't tell the whole group text that I'm not going. I'm not going out that night. But yeah, Jacob deGrom is apparently not even going to Colorado, which is understandable given the issues he's had this year. You don't want to make any of that worse. I think he knows that he potentially is putting the season in jeopardy if he pitches that All-Star game. So
I'm spending the entire break in a hot tub and sleeping 14 hours a night.
Yep. Well, with two small children, though.
Yep.
They can be relocated.
So as the fact that Jacob deGrom is the only All-Star representative from the New York Mets, if he doesn't go, there's a potential that they might have zero All-Stars, which would be really sad. But as Jacob deGrom drops out, since he's given them plenty of notice, they will likely replace him on the roster. And it's potentially true that Taijuan Walker will be a one-to-one replacement of Jacob deGrom, which would be pretty cool. I think Taijuan Walker, more than anyone else on the Mets other than deGrom, deserves the nod, and I'm kind of upset that he didn't get it to begin with.
Walker is my dude, and he deserves it so much. And if he does make the All-Star team, I will buy his jersey, not the All-Star jersey, because it is hideous, but the regular kind. Yes, so, so deserving. Taijuan Walker, send that man to the All-Star team.
The All-Star jerseys are indeed trash, along with most of the City Connect uniforms, disappointingly so.
I would say, and kind of in the same vein, they are the worst jerseys since the white-on-white Players Weekend jerseys, among the worst ideas ever imagined.
Graphic design is my passion.
Wait, so if Pete goes to the Home Run Derby, does he have to wear those jerseys too?
Yes, he does. Yes, he sure does. Wear the weird, like the weird British footballing tourist jersey. It looks like the collared soccer jersey like old dudes wear when they're at the pub in England.
Well,
it's very bizarre.
I get that they had to repurpose the Atlanta jersey and make it
different.
Colorado.
Yeah.
But it looks like the style of the jersey, it looks like, but then also the graphics look like something I made in MS Paint. So I feel like they could probably have done better on that.
Yeah, it's like they were given enough notice, I feel like. It's not like they just moved the All-Star game a week ago. Like,
no, I know. And the, speaking of MS Paint, so the City Connect jerseys, the Giants ones just came out today.
Those are hilarious.
And they literally look like the spray paint tool of MS Paint. And I'm like, you couldn't do better than this? I get you're trying to do the whole fog thing. Doesn't really work, in my opinion.
It makes me very nervous because, as you guys know, I am a black jersey enthusiast, and I'm really excited. And the word is that the black jerseys are going to be the City Connect. And I'm very nervous. I have planned my entire Mets budget this summer around a Francisco Lindor black jersey, and if it's trash, I'll be very disappointed.
Michael and I were discussing this recently, and we are in the anti-black jersey contingent, but
that said,
I am hoping that if that is the case, I mean, we already know they're bringing back the black jerseys regardless, but if it is the case that it's a City Connect jersey, they're bringing it back, doing this whole big thing, I do hope they do a different take on it in some capacity. I hope that they do something a little different than just exactly the black jerseys that they used to wear. I hope that they bring something different to the table, because then it'll at least be like something fun and novel while also hearkening back to the Mets history.
Well, as you know, I mean, that's why I like the black jerseys, because I like jersey novelty.
Well, as Thomas and Jesse know, they did something similar in hockey where they did the reverse retro, where they bought back old jerseys and then they updated them. So, like, the Rangers had the Liberty and they bought them back and updated them. So, like, they could potentially do that with the black jerseys, and maybe I won't hate them so much.
I am waiting for the jury to be out to see if I will hate them.
Two words. Mercury Mets.
Bring it back, Mercury Mets.
Bring back the Mercury Mets.
Say something about the Mercury Mets.
Yeah. Mercury Mets, bring it back, guys.
Oh, can we name the podcast title Mercury Mets?
Mercury Mets. I'm for it. Oh, man. I'm just so excited to be back. I mean, I know that this isn't my first game back at Citi Field, but I'm excited to be with you all here.
Yeah.
Definitely. This is the place to be.
It's Thomas's first game back. Thomas, tell us about your feels right now. We have some feels.
It's kind of weird. Like, it's going to be like that for every big sporting event that I go back to, but it's like, oh, wow, I could go back to the stadium, and I'm just going to be there, and I'm going to be like, wow, live. But, like, the Mets are probably not going to win if it's Brandon Woodruff versus Tylor Megill. Like, that's not exactly the best matchup in the world, but I don't really care. Like, I'll care about if they win, like, the next time I come, which will be, like, in a month. But, like, right now, it's just being back here is pretty cool. Like, that's really it.
And I'm usually a person who is, you know, not the biggest fan of the Subway Series, or, like, I just kind of wait for it to be over. But this year it was fun.
Winning the Subway Series. Yeah. We like this one.
The Subway Series is good when the Mets win my column.
I never said anything bad ever about the Subway Series.
So this past weekend was fun. And it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, it did very much feel like a baseball is back moment. To have, you know, the Subway Series back, especially with the Mets winning in Yankee Stadium and, you know, really taking it to the Yankees, which was pretty
stomping
awesome.
Stomping in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, they
gave them a good hard spank. That
they,
was awesome.
They kicked their butts pretty hard. I mean, they didn't sweep, but that's okay.
They
two out of three
doubleheader,
is perfectly fine with me. That was really fun. So let's hope that...
Especially with Chapman blowing it, that was the extra.
Yes,
like,
chef's kiss. Chef's kiss, Chapman blowing it. So let's hope that that's more an indication of the Mets that we're going to see moving forward.
Well, Nimmo completely changes the lineup.
I agree.
He looks great.
Yeah.
I do. I kind of gave them a hard time for pushing him back a few more days and saying, like, oh, this is not a setback. And I was like, yeah, right, this is literally a setback. But if he just didn't feel like he was in a rhythm yet and they kept him in the minors till he could get in a rhythm and now he's in the rhythm, I take it back and I apologize, because he looks great and that's really nice to see.
Well, and it's no surprise, like, having him hitting now, Lindor suddenly hitting, Pete suddenly hitting, like, he just completely overhauled the entire, like, because McNeil, God bless McNeil, but...
Thanks to T-Mobile for supporting this episode and for keeping baseball fans around the country connected to the game. Because when you're on America's largest and fastest 5G network, you get more than great coverage. You get to stay close to your favorite team, whether you're at home or on the road. In other words, T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. Make the switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal Awards based on average speeds and USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Support for this episode comes from Locker Room, the app that's changing the way we talk sports. Locker Room is a sports fan's dream come true. It's a live audio platform that lets you connect with other fans, experts, and even the athletes themselves. Locker Room makes it easy to start your own conversations. Talk about the latest rumors, takes, news, and teams you care about most. Join massive watch parties for all of your friends to react together in real time as you celebrate a buzzer beater or suffer the agony of a crucial bricked free throw. And if you've got a bunch of supremely spicy takes you'd like to fire off, you're in luck. You can even record the conversations if you want and release them as a podcast. So it's time to start thinking about catchy titles. It's all totally free and available at the iOS App Store right now. So go download it today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
I have a question for Linda specifically here, which is that if JD is truly on the way back, who do you see as the roster move to get him back into the lineup? Do you see it as Peraza? Do you see it as a bullpen piece? Like how do you get JD Davis back into this 26-man roster?
I would say just IL Castro, and then problem solved. But does Peraza have options?
No,
but I'm not sure if he signed one of those funky minor league deals where he has certain opt-out times throughout the season. Peraza?
I think he just reached the...
Yeah, Peraza just reached 5 years of service time, so he could refuse to go down. So they would have... I doubt he's going to be like, yeah, I'll go hang out on a terrible Syracuse team for like 2 months. He's just going to say no, so you're probably going to have to DFA him.
Yeah. Is Peraza that big of a loss? Because now VR's back.
It's true. I think the question is Peraza versus, I guess, Billy McKinney is sort of the other possibility.
Yeah.
And he has not looked.
Yeah, he has. They caught lightning in a bottle for like a month.
I made him a ILR for a while, but
you did.
I don't know.
So the Mets could get creative and make McNeil the fifth outfielder and
That's
DFA
true.
McKinney. But I don't think they want to do that with McNeil having the hamstring thing.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do if he was healthy. Just kind of put him in left on those days when you really need them, and then you could have VR play second and JD play third. You could kind of have fun roster management because the team is very versatile for the first time in a long time. But, like, McKinney's just kind of bad probably, and so is Peraza. But you're going to lose Peraza because you're going to have to DFA him, and some bad team is going to claim him.
Oh, yeah, but they also have Guillorme, too, so Peraza is kind of redundant right now.
Yeah. My only piece of keeping Peraza is that I think Peraza's skill set is more likely to continue throughout the season, whereas I feel like Billy McKinney was going to give you, let's say, 12 home runs and a .280 batting average over the course of a couple of at-bats a week over the course of a season. We got all of that in his first 6 weeks as a Met. I think he's probably given us almost all he can, and maybe it's time to just cut bait there.
And they do have Pilar and Almora.
I mean, and McKinney did this already.
Oh, yeah,
with
Almora's
the, yeah,
gone, yeah,
Almora went down. McKinney did the same thing with
the
Brewers.
Yeah.
Like, he was hot for, like, 2 weeks, hit, like, what he did here, and then was just terrible when the league figured him out. When they were like, oh, he can't hit a fastball? Okay, throw that. And that's what happened, because that's how it is.
I think the thing that I would keep Peraza for is he seems to be one of those guys who really can get up ice cold and just hit a dinger.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of really good teams have that guy on their bench who, if you really just need someone to step up and maybe hit a dinger, that's your guy.
Although VR could kind of be that guy, too, if he's not playing every day. If you put JD in and over VR.
I mean, I would take him as, like, the better hitter overall.
Yeah.
And if I needed somebody to, like, get on base or make something happen, VR would probably be my pick. But, like, just for the power off the bench, he just, while not being an excellent hitter seems to be the kind of guy who can just do that.
I agree with that. That's kind of what I was going to say, because I feel like Billy McKinney and Jose Peraza actually in the current state of the team fill almost the exact same role in the sense that they don't hit often, and when they do, it's for extra bases, weirdly, which is not actually Jose Peraza's MO, but it's been his MO this year. Like, I don't know what's going on with Jose Peraza being like a low average doubles guy, but that seems to be his MO right now. And that's kind of what Billy McKinney had been doing, but that's Billy McKinney's MO more than it is Peraza's MO. But that's kind of like your pinch hitter off the bench late in a game where you need a double up the gap. Who are you putting up? Like, that's kind of, they're kind of serving the exact same role, and just one's an infielder and one's an outfielder.
My only addition to that is that with Peraza being right-handed, maybe that doesn't help as much, because the majority of the league pitches right-handed, and so having a lefty off the bench is a useful thing. But also, if you have Almora in the minors who can be brought up, you have an outfield option that can be called up, as opposed to, I don't know if you're going to need another infielder necessarily, you know, for Peraza.
Well, and let's face it, this is going to be a totally moot conversation when somebody tears an oblique, like, tomorrow.
For sure. No. Hey, guys, if you can you help all these veterans, guys? We can use
I'm sorry. I'm cashing either. I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's definitely an interesting question about what they do once J.D. Davis is activated. It's kind of like the last position player roster move they have to make. But then they'll have the team fully back healthy.
Hopefully.
Like, healthy in the position player
again,
side,
knock
not
on wood,
the pitching side.
I never thought that it would happen. No. I never thought I'd see the day coming.
Yeah, and I mean, the nature of this is such that with Peraza and McKinney, we're talking about fearing losing these guys, but the nature of injuries across the major leagues is such that you will lose them, because other teams need these players, these types of players, so desperately. And, you know, but with the Mets, it's kind of just like we just have to think about the fact that they served their role while they were on the team, and now that role is no longer needed.
Wait, is Nito back?
Nito is back.
Okay.
Nito's back. He caught one of the games of the doubleheader.
So did they send Mazzico back down?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Mazzico's back down now.
Sorry, I missed the whole weekend game.
Did you know that Sean Reed Foley is dead?
I saw you tell me IL. Does he need Tommy John?
No, he has elbow inflammation, but that's still not great.
Yeah.
So I am worried about the state of the long relief bulk bullpen situation. Because we don't have Gesellman, we don't have Reed Foley.
If Carrasco comes back, that's McGill's role.
Yeah.
True.
But that's a big if right now. Huge if.
And it's not like you want to lose him for the higher leverage situations, but Lugo can give you length when you need it. And that's, you know. Oh, do we have a disagreement?
He used to be able to, but now he hasn't shown that this year at all. Like I really want him to, because they need him to be able to do that. But he's been like a up, and then as soon as he gets back in the dugout, he's like, I'm done to Rojas. He's done that two or three times now. And that might just be a thing where he's just coming back and he's warming himself up to it, and then he could do that in 2-3 weeks. Maybe that's what he is now, and he's a still good reliever that way, but you just got to find someone who could go multiple innings if you're going to do that, because that's needed now.
So far, Edwin Diaz has impressed me. Like, both times that he's had to get multiple inning saves, he's done it.
Yeah.
It was like,
Yeah, Brody.
God forbid.
Brody Van Wagenen was like, "Never can we do this." And now
the city will burn to the ground if you bring Edwin Diaz in early.
He seems to be doing it just fine. With Lugo, I think it's kind of a situation where it's like, I get why they're being cautious with Lugo, because he's coming off the other injury in addition to his UCL, always, you know, hanging in the back of everyone's minds. But at the same time, let's go Mets! But at the same time. At the same time, you kind of want that to be a sure thing that you know you can at least have in your back pocket with Lugo when you're in the playoffs. Because we're thinking about the playoff bullpen, and Lugo being able to throw two innings is absolutely essential to this team having a successful playoff run. Essential.
Let me just say, Noah Syndergaard, two-inning specialist out of the bullpen in the playoffs.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
God.
He did it in 15.
He did. He absolutely
did. He looked great. And that is sort of kind of a dream outcome for what you know, the pitching could look like at the end of the season is him being this absolutely killer bullpen weapon. And, you know, who knows who else we'll have to work with also. You know, Peterson and the world Peterson. That he is, he could be a left-handed specialist out of the bullpen. That would be fine. But you get to have so many pieces to move around, and that's really exciting.
I really would love to just, like, glimpse into the future and see Loogie David Peterson, the hero. That would be so good
John
to me.
John Neese kind of was in 15.
Yeah, John Neese was that. That was John Neese. Like, if you were, like...
He had a big strikeout of somebody in 15. I forget who it was. Rizzo?
You might have been. I think it was Rizzo.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Way to go, John Neese.
I want David Peterson to be that guy. Because then if you have Carrasco back, then you have, you know, do you have Jacob deGrom, Marcus Stroman, Taijuan Walker, and Carlos Carrasco? Yes. That's not a bad playoff rotation at all. At all. So.
Yeah. And also May. God, I love May.
Trevor May.
He's been so volatile. I don't know.
He's been good again.
He's been up and down, but that's just sort of, I don't feel like he's an enormous outlier in terms of his volatility from, like, most decent relievers.
It does go back to disappointment in Castro being bad again now, but which was part of the bullpen being so solid early. But Seth Lugo being back does help mitigate that somewhat.
And Drew Smith's not awful.
No.
Drew Smith has been solid.
He's pretty good. I would give him a solid, like, B.
B.
Drew Smith's had, like, a banner couple of weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's been, like, one of the most reliable relievers of late out of that bullpen, for sure. What topics else do we have on the docket? I think I'm out of Mets takes.
We have, like, breaking news that we saw Donnie Stevenson.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. For the you guys won't hear this probably until Wednesday, but we're recording this on Monday, July 5th. But we were in the parking lot waiting for the group to arrive, and Donnie Stevenson, the real Donnie Stevenson. I'm sorry, it's actual Donnie Stevenson, the real guy. He was walking in his cutoff crop top,
with the jorts
and just flexing in the parking lot,
full on flexing.
And it was just a thing that happened. And we are all witnesses. And that's just all I have to say about
that. The City Field parking lot is a beautiful, magical place where anything is possible.
Yes. Anything is possible. Should we do, like, a mini walk-off win segment for everybody? Is everyone's walk-off win just this, though?
Pretty much.
Think of different... Yeah, Thomas says...
That's a plus one.
Mark him down for City Field. First game back at City Field is his walk-off win, which definitely, yes. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Any walk-off wins, Michael?
Well, obviously, being here is lovely with all of you, but especially being here with my mother for... The first time I've been to a game with her in quite a while, and she was listening for the first, like, 15 minutes of this, and then she's like, I don't understand anything that's going on, and she went to go to her car. But it has been since I've been to a game with her. She insists that she has not been to Citi Field. I vehemently disagree with that. Regardless, this is the first game we've been to together in quite a while, and that makes me happy. So, yeah.
Maggie, do you have a walk-off win to share?
I do have, and it's a non-Mets walk-off win, which is that yesterday was Thomas's my Thomas's birthday. He turned 7, and, like, we had a party for him the day before with some friends, but then, like, the day of the birthday, we just sort of were going to play it by ear, and we took the Metro North train down to Grand Central. There was a disappointment as to the toy store being closed down there, so I took everyone's temperature, metaphorically, and we decided to walk to FAO Schwartz and had, like, a killer hour at FAO Schwartz. I got out of there for a reasonable amount of money, amazingly. And then we watched the whole Mets game and watched them win and got just the most amazing Dominican birthday cake. And then for the first time, the kids stayed awake for the fireworks. And we just, you know, 9 o'clock, I took them in their PJs and we just, like, walked around to the other side of the block where there was a block party and, like, big ass legit fireworks. And they loved it. And they were so good and so sweet in their little PJs. And it was just, like, the perfect, I felt like I had just... That was, like, a cherry on top of the sundae, like, perfect birthday for Thomas, who has had a really hard year and needed that win. And yeah, I'm so proud of him. Happy birthday, Thomas. You're not going to listen to this, but if you do, I love you.
Happy birthday, Thomas.
Happy birthday to Thomas. That's awesome. You spurred on my walk-off win, because I have a birthday-related walk-off win as well. It was one of my best friends from college. It was her 30th birthday. It was actually on Saturday, but on Friday night, we had a big surprise party for her, and she was completely surprised. Aww. We came from all over, friends she hadn't seen since before the pandemic, and it was kind of like the first time she was seeing a lot of those folks. And so we all gathered at Constitution Yards, which is a beer garden in Wilmington, Delaware. We kept the ruse going for weeks. One of her roommates almost ruined it, because she was like, why are you cleaning the house? And she was like, you know, like Allison and Michael are coming to stay. She goes, why? And she was like, never mind.
I just want to clean.
They were just stopping by because of reasons. And like Sarah, bless her heart, was just like, oh, okay. Like, she didn't suspect anything, even though her roommate almost spilled the beans. And she got to Katsusushi Yards. We all yelled surprise, and it was just like so happy. And she was so surprised and so happy. So that is my walk-off win. It's getting to surprise my friend for her 30th birthday, and a lot of friends reuniting that hadn't seen each other in quite some time.
My walk-off win will be today. I haven't seen you guys in like over a year, if not longer. Allison, you moved to D.C.
Yes, so I moved to D.C.
Since the last time I saw you. Yes. Yeah. So I don't think we've ever recorded a pod where I can see your faces like we did.
That's so true. Well, we did like
ARGs, we did the cookie tasting and stuff. So it's been
when we did the Dollars for Dingers.
The Dollars for Dingers.
2019, yeah. Dollars for Dingers.
That was a fundraiser. Yeah.
And that was a different time.
That was a fun day, though, and I hope we can do that again. We will do that again.
We will.
Yes.
We will have 2021 Dollars for Dingers live for you guys, and we're figuring that out, and we will launch the official Dollars for Dingers for our 100th episode, which is only 8 episodes away. But we will have everything planned out by then. We'll figure it out. But unfortunately, the death of McKellar is putting a wrench in those works a little bit, but worry not. We will find an alternate location, and we will do live Dollars for Dingers again. But yeah, that was the last time that we kind of all, like, sat in the same room together and like recorded anything or like did anything for the pod.
I would add, if any of y'all have like a city adjacent sports bar that you love that you think would host Dollars for Dingers, drop us a tweet and let us know, because we would like to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm really happy to be here. And Brian, do you have a walk-off win?
So yesterday was the first time since the pandemic that I've done something like culturally at all. So I went to the Cloisters for the first time. I'd never been to the Cloisters before. So I was friends of ours met us there, and we did the Cloisters, and we walked to the Hudson and got some food and I drank some tequila, and it was lovely. And yeah. So drinking tequila outdoors was a lovely way to spend my Saturday. So I had not been to like a museum or a concert or a film or a play or anything. I really like all that artsy-fartsy stuff. So it was fun for me to be in a museum and feel the slightest bit normal again. And if I have to wear a mask to do that, I am totally cool with that. That is fine by me. So it was just nice to feel a little bit of normalcy yesterday. And being here with y'all is, of course, the ultimate walk-off win. But, you know, I'll throw some Cloisters love, too.
Anyway, it was good talking to everybody from live from the City Field parking lot. We got to get inside and enjoy the game. Mets Brewers, hopefully they win. Cross your fingers for us, although by the time you're hearing this, you will know the results of this game, but we don't know it right now. But in the meantime, you can go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We've got analysis, we've got game recaps, we've got morning news posts, we've got a trade targets piece coming up pretty soon where we're going to talk about various moves that the Mets could possibly make at the deadline, so wait for that. You can follow Amazing Avenue on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can email the show aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can also follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Service.
You, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
You can follow all of us on Twitter, follow the show. Please subscribe to the podcast, Amazing Avenue Audio, wherever you get your podcasts from. Rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, live from Citi Field. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.
Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to Open Signal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G Experience Report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.